Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, there must be a technical difficulty. Can you hear me now, Minister Terry? I want to bring you on. I think I hit the wrong number. Hold on one second. Hold on. No, she dropped two. Storm problems. Let me see. Pastor Dwayne, can you hear me? I know I might have thrown him under the bus. Pastor Dwayne, can you hear
me? Hello? Yeah.
Hey, good. We got some hailstorms and stuff in California. Internet's trying to distract, but we are going to go forward. Thank you, my brother. I'm gonna bring you back. Just wanted to make sure I could be heard out there before I went any further. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Heavenly Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that no weapon formed against this broadcast will prosper, that everyone that was intended to be on this call tonight will be on this broadcast, and that we will discover, that we will allow, and we will reveal the truth that has been hidden so long. So, Lord, we thank you that as we come together willfully, that, Lord, you just drop and pour your anointing on us, Lord, that we don't leave here the same. We become better men. We become better fathers. We become better friends, and we become better servants and followers of you. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to hear this again. Hey.
Man, no.
Somebody tell the man up.
sir. Will you get a ticket? Ooh, Jesus.
Now it's my time to fight. Taking personal responsibility for my own life. No longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I'm walking in holding the vow, dedicated and committed to a life of constant change and growth. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose. I am the God in me through Christ Jesus. And I choose to man up. Come on, let's take that journey. Put your hands together and let's man up. Wow, here we are. We're back again. And I pray and I thank everyone who held on to the difficulties. We got a little weather out here in California. You know, it was beautiful 80 this weekend, and now it's almost 40. Feels a little bit colder than that when you do such a transition. So those of you out here in California, put your jackets on. I've been telling you, even when it got hot, still put your hoodie on and stuff like that before we be sitting around here coughing and sneezing and going through those things. But God bless everybody tonight. I'm excited, as always, to enter into this session of Man Up Movement for a guest. I was asking God where to go, and he said, just ask the question, and maybe we may find the answer. But why don't we unite? Why can't men get along? Now, we play on the court, and we interact for a moment, but we can't go any longer than just that one session. Because the next session, we may be on a different team. And the next session, we may be on another team. And instead of really as men, not as sports stars or sports followers or championshippers, but as men, why do we have such a problem uniting and really working together? And I'm not prejudiced, because you guys know, and I'll say this openly, I am what I call a mutt. I have a little bit of everything in me. I did a DNA, and it just took me all over the world. And I was built to be able to communicate with all races and colors and have the right to say certain things. Say, well, how can you talk to a white man? I got white in me. I definitely could talk to a black person, because I have black in me, was raised black. And if you hear me talk, you swear until you see me in person, you would think that was a black person talking on the other side of that line. But to really look into our culture, and my brothers out there that are of other nationalities, I know you're going to support us in this movement, because I'm saying it because you guys can seem to get along and at least fellowship and work together. But we have a problem going longer than 3 to 6 months before one tries to take over, or one tries to bump out the way, or one doesn't do what he says he's going to do, and we fall short. So I want to really challenge us tonight to really dig deep. This isn't a pointing of the finger, because believe me, I could talk from the hip, because I've been there, and I've been selfish, and I've been all about me, and anything I ever bring up, believe me, I could talk about it, because I've been there, and I've been delivered, and I have a testimony for those that need that testimony. But I have that testimony with God to know I have the authority by him to speak on certain things. But why can't we just get along? You know, women can play longer than we can. But this isn't about women. This is about men. Amen. So I preached a sermon this Sunday, and I have to bring this back up because it's just really right where we're at, is that the topic was, if you weren't there, and most probably were that are on this broadcast, was a declaration. I am on the winning team. We talked about characteristics and what it takes to be on the winning team, and how it's all about unity and great. And so it's so awesome. We weren't talking about the Rams or the Bengals. We were talking about the team of Jesus Christ. And being on his team, you have to have the same characteristics as the team leader, as the point guard, as the quarterback. And it's not something selfish. It's something humble and something submissive and something willing. Now, that doesn't – y'all know me and you know how I roll, so you know I'm talking as a man, because you don't have to be weak to be humble. You don't have to be less than who you really are. We just have to be particular on how we treat each other. So we talked about being on the winning team. Well, you had to know that the first characteristic or the first tryout was love. You had to operate in love. And then through the other thing that we ended up with generosity, because we follow other teams and we use all of our resources for team parties and celebrations and new shirts. And call me guilty. I'm a businessman, so call me guilty when you say, well, Pastor, you got Super Bowl shirts on your own. Well, I'm a businessman. I know there's going to be a market for that product. I'm going to produce that product because I'm a businessman that provides his ministry through his business. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. It makes it business. But we'll spend so much money on memorabilia and flags and balloons. But when it comes to the real team, we don't give that same dedication, that same loyalty, that same refreshment, that same love. It's only built on the contingency of if you win or not. But what I'm saying to all of us tonight is that as we engage in this constant relationship, and no, it's not a relationship with Pastor E. It's a relationship with God. But also then puts us in line with each other that we really commune and we really start to relate to, because as God has done for me, God definitely will do for you, because he's no respecter of person. But now we can start to replicate him as men. Someone says, well, you know, what is a man? I have to say, look at Jesus. You know, follow Jesus as the ultimate man. I don't care about the stories. And I want to say this openly, because I had a conversation with a brother the other day over other lost books of who bopped this and who this and the ya-ya that and this. I said, look, I'm just willing to settle for the Holy Bible that God has put in my hands as enough. And I'm not looking for other things for controversy or for the wise. And no, I want to stay solid on the word of God and believe that the story of Jesus Christ, and know that his obedience and his following God was holy, because there was none perfect but him. Other things may draw you away from that, my brother, even my sister listening tonight. Some things may make you wonder and question. You're like, wait a minute. I don't need that in my life. I'm telling you now, I'm sold out on Genesis through Revelation as the God-inspired word of him, of God. And if I need him, I find him there, and I don't need anything else. So when we look at that as brotherhood, as team, we can use the same message. We talked about being on the winning team. Because if we don't start the team up, you can say you forgot all you want to. But he would never have instructed us, my brothers, to love you like we love ourselves. That I'm supposed to love my brother as I love myself. And I know it was used in the context of neighbor, but you're my brother, you're my neighbor, you're my sister. But right now I'm talking about my brother. So I'm supposed to love you like I love myself. So let me read the scripture, and I'm going to open up the lines after that. We are going to fast forward. I need those that are ready to get – I'm not even looking at the board right now, but if you're ready to get in the conversation, you're already on fire, I've said something, and the Spirit has lit in you, dial one now, get ready, get ready, get ready. But in Philippians 2, let's twist it a little bit because you heard the winning team message. Let's talk about my brother message. Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow this short little illustration of the word of God for us men tonight as we talk about why it's so hard for us to get along. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ. Do you know what a consolation is? A consolation, they say, consolation prize. You didn't win one, but you have consolation. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather have the consolation in Christ than anything else. Boom. First point. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Man, do you tell me that that had nothing to do with your joy or my joy? This has to do with fulfilling whose joy? The joy of the Lord. So fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Do you mean to tell me that even though I'm smart in printing and designing and whatever the Lord has given me my ability in, that that doesn't take away from yours? No, it should really enhance yours, because what God does for me, he'll do for you, but it's not the same. It will never be the same. When we fulfill his joy by being like-minded, we learn to have the abilities to be like-minded and produce. Oh, somebody gonna run on that one. You're going to say, this dude took this thing and preached it a whole different way. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. Now, guess what? You can't do nothing without love. We cannot build this brotherhood, this fellowship, this whatever it is God has given us, this platform for each and every one of us to be able to be boisterous and be heard without love. But it can't be my love, because my love is twisted. I've thrown that out there a long time ago. That's on the altar. My love is twisted. If I can be honest, and I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings, my love did nothing but produce children. Love each one of my children. And they would have still been under my guidance if I would have did it the right way. God showed me that years ago. But my love produced children. That was it. And I'm now starting to have relationships have been established now as adults that couldn't be established as children. Having the same love, man, that's deep there. Having the same love. My brother, do you have the same love as me? Do I have the same love as you? Or him? Or have we ever asked the same question? Because we start ask that question about love, we get all like, oh, man, well, I love you. Some of you may be guilty, so don't fall out when I say this. I've said to you openly, man, bro, I love you, man. Okay, Pastor. Oh, had to touch on that. Having the same love. Do we have the same love? Being of one accord, of one mind, man. Do you mean to tell me I should agree with you when you agree with me? And we agree with God? Yes. One mind. If you go down a little bit farther, I'm not even going to verse 5 that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One mind. Let nothing. This is very important here, because you have to take this so serious, my brother. In dealing with brothers to build a real fellowship, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That means don't call me. And you already know, well, I just need him to get this, man. Or I shouldn't be calling you just so you can open up a certain door for me, because I know I have what they need. I know I can provide what they need, but I need you to open the door for me. See, that's selfish ambition or conceit. You can put them both together, ambition and conceit. But when we deal with each other, watch here. It says, but in the lowliness of mind, that each other better than himself. That does not mean you tear yourself down and say, I'm just no good because I'm going to let him be better than me because he's no good. That verse says that you don't judge a man. You don't worry about what somebody else is doing or not doing. You do what you're supposed to doing. That's why I said follow the hashtag. I will do better now. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We got a long way to go, y'all. We could just use these four verses to build this broadcast from now on. And if we just said these are the standards that we want to come together and build on, and every week someone else is going to, now this is the Holy Spirit speaking, so write it down. Let's get the schedule together. If you want to be a part of it, put your name in. Let's go. That we could take these four scriptures and really build a credo of men to build each other. Nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you, not just me, you too, let each of you look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, I hope you caught that. You are responsible for your own interests. But when you deal with your interests right, you'll be able to also deal with others too that may not have that same opportunity. I wish we really as men, and I pray that we got billionaires on this broadcast tonight. I pray we got trillionaires. I pray LeBron is on this broadcast tonight. I pray that Mayweather is on this broadcast tonight. That if we really use our resources to build us up, we wouldn't be sitting around here mad at each other and can't walk together because one has more than the other, instead of saying, let us build each other up. But because he said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. That means you have an interest too, my friend, but also the interest of others. My brothers, why can't we unite? I think those are the answers right there. We ain't ready to take it. We first of all, are not ready to take a consolation. If we don't want to just take comfort and love and in fellowship of the Spirit, and if there's any affection and mercy, see, you hear? Did you get that? If any affection or mercy fulfill my joy. See, no matter what you're going through and no matter what happened and what hasn't blessed you, or you're not where somebody else is, still fulfill his joy by being like-minded. You don't have to have $1 billion to have the same mindset as a billionaire. Point two, I'm going to leave that one there. I want to open up the lines now. Whoever's, I hope I have encouraged somebody tonight. Any 15 minutes or 15 minutes that wants to get in the conversation and talk about it. I already know one has dialed. I need others to get in on this conversation too. Rock Box, come on in. This man,
okay,
up.
Hey,
what's up, brother?
Hey, how y'all doing today? What's up? Hey, it's an old saying I heard a long time ago. They say you cut a tree down, you're going to run back into the roots. And that's where we at. We got to get back to the roots of the problem. And that's we got to all be like-minded, like you said earlier, how you was reading through the scripture. And I think one way to do that is make a covenant about it, you know. And whatever we make a covenant about with the Lord, everybody that's involved, we pray about it and make a covenant about it, being like-minded and everything, and whatever we make a covenant about, that's what we stick to. And it'll start up, and that'd be kind of the root of the problem. Then everybody else will catch in, and, you know, we'll keep it going. But, you know, that one thing you said for sure was, like, being like-minded. That's the truth. But like-minded in the word, like-minded with God, you know, under God's direction, not our own, though.
That's
you hear me?
Yes, I can. Look, yes,
I was.
You know, got me a little coffee here, so I was taking me a little sip. I turned my mic down so you didn't hear me. You know that coffee syrup.
Yeah, gotcha.
I do want to put that on. But that is it. I like that. I like, because, you know, that's one of my favorite interactions with anybody is covenant. See,
mm-hmm.
Covenant comes from God. But covenant comes from God. When we sign that covenant, that means that we are covenant together through God
mm-hmm.
to now stand and be held accountable by God. Oh, we about to write one up. See, Don't start nothing with me because I'm gonna type one up and I'm gonna email it to everybody on this broadcast that says you're part of Man Up. And let's really start it. Send copies out that you send to your friends and say, man, this is what we're really pulling together to really be able to hold each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing about this, if anybody out there is listening, we are not here to bash or throw no flames at nobody. We're trying to pull everybody up. And if your foot got stepped on tonight, hey, you got to wear the shoe. But that doesn't mean you can't come in and be a part of what we're talking about. This is not to tear anyone down, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit is putting that in my spirit right now, is that we want you to know that this is to build up, not tear down. And we want anybody listening to know this is your time to come on, join with me. I'm your brother. Let's do this thing. Area code, we'll be back with you in a minute. Rock Box. I don't know why I started calling it Rock Box tonight. I think he's going to beatbox. Anyway, area code 310, last four, 3213. You're live on Man Up. Let's talk.
Man Up, Man Up, Man Up. What's up, Pastor G? What's up, Rock Box? It's the Regulator.
Regulate. We are here.
Yes, we are in here. Yes, Pastor G, and to all the listeners, both of you brothers are right on point. Pastor G, you said it when you express your love towards somebody, and what is their understanding, and how do they exemplify their love back? And then Rock Box hit it on the head when you cut down the tree. You still have a root there that you have to deal with. And I look at it, you know, not going too far away from the subject of the story of the Trojan horse. The Greeks built this horse for the Trojans to enter into the gate so they can take over their...
They can reach that big wall. Nobody can climb that big wall, so they had to find a way to get in.
So they built this, and they hid men inside. And so when the ship sailed back at night, the Trojans came and brought this horse in, and the men that was in the horse, they came out and opened the gate where they could attack them. And I look at that analogy like us as black men in America. We are the Trojans. In this establishment here in America, but how do we acclimate ourselves to get about the American way and be successful? And it goes back to what you said, Pastor, with that love. It starts first with ourselves and then applying that to those who are around us. And then it goes back to that, what Rockbox said, and our roots is our ancestors. They are our own scholars, because the African proverb that talks about the hunter, it says, as long as the hunter tells his story, he will always be glorified. But who's listening to the lion? If we just hear what the lion has to say, he will give a different story. You know, it's like we have been educated. All our education comes from America. So we have a hard time acclimating to the system because they taught us everything that we know. And when we go outside and look around, this is what they taught us, how we and our people are condoning and conducting ourselves every day. So, you know, the Hispanics, they know. The Italians, they know. The Europeans, they know who they are. But we have been stripped of our identity in so many ways, so we have to go study who we are. You know, the noble Ali Bey has a proverb. It says, study, 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 and when you study everything you can, one would ask what else to study. It would say, study yourself. So, you know, what another thing crossed my mind when you were talking about love is, you know, out here in the streets, they got what they call that thug love. You know, it's a totally different kind of love. So, you know, Pastor, you hitting it right on the head. You know, and love is the action word. That means if you love someone and tell someone you love them, not only you have that empathy and affection for them, that means you will do something for them. And like even in the Bible, the greatest act of love is you will even lay down your life for someone else. So thank you for
this. See, you're trying to preach now. Look, now you want to preach now. You see, because that's the dip there. In the gang and in the hood, and we've all come from that. There's not one person you've heard tonight that has not been in this situation where you are in a situation that you would give your life for a friend. I've been there, and I've seen friends stand in front for me and block bullets for me and everything, and vice versa, you know, in these streets out here. And so that code is really, really, really more seen in that than in those of us that have crossed over and said, we believe in something now. We want to change our lives, but now we're not willing to do the same things. It's a two-way street that needs to be brought into one. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. We're listening to you, Pastor.
Hey, look, man. I want to bring Clarence in. Not this week, but next month in March the 3rd, and I'm inviting him right now live while I have him in front of you guys so he can't say no. I want to bring Clarence on for the 3rd Tuesday in March. This brother has a renowned novel, and it's about regulating, and brothers need to read this. I was looking at his book the other day in my book stash, which I don't have many, but he is part of my library. Want to bring you on, mm-hmm. my brother, and let you just kind of share and tell everybody what you're doing out there, that we can get this. We're nationally heard, so we want everyone to know that there are some answers for gang violence. There are some answers for intervention, and it may work a little better coming from this end because it all started on this end. And I know there's some old school gangs in every state, but I was talking to another friend of mine this morning, and he's in the world. He's around and said, man, Bloods and Crips have taken over every state. They are renowned. Me and Rock were even talking about that, you know, is that, man, where you go, mm-hmm. man, there's more Bloods and Crips. We tried to get away from it. As a matter of fact, that's the last mm-hmm. conversation I just had with Rock, but he was Mike that day. But me and Rock was talking about that. You try to get away from it, there's more Crippin' and Blood everywhere else. So I want to make that invitation to you, my brother, for the 3rd Tuesday in March. I pray you accept it. Send me a profile picture. I want to put you on the flyer and then let you tell the story of regulating. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all heard it. Now, y'all heard it. Y'all heard it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
No, we already know you. We are here. man.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Can I explain a little something? You know, me and you being veterans, you know, we look at the different branches of the armed forces, and within those branches, they have battalions, companies, platoons, divisions, you name it. Each branch has its own segment. So when I look at the Crips and Bloods, I think of what Martin Luther King said in the I Have a Dream speech. He talks about the marvelous militancy of our brothers. And we have that militant mind, whether you Crip, Blood, Latino, or whatever. But because of we've been manipulated to get away from our regulations, our disciplines, our purposes on why we started this in the first place, and just become uncivilized all about this, we have what we have mm-hmm. today. So when I look at the Crips, when I look at the Bloods, and I look at the Latinos, I look at them as if I'm looking at the Army, the Marines, and maybe even the Navy. And then each neighborhood is a different battalion, division, or company of that. So when we start putting a code and a conduct, like you have the Uniform Military Justice Code of Conduct, if we
right.
can get this code of conduct, well, we can start being disciplined. See, every Crip, every Blood, every Latino or whatever out there at every age should have a duty. If you at school age, mm-hmm. your duty should be getting the best education that you can get. When you get out of school, each and every neighborhood, each and gang should incorporate themselves, get a corporate name and a nonprofit name. That way we can start making this money legitimately, give them their criminal enterprise and their drugs back. Because I remember as a young man when I was a baby crip over there in Watts on the east side, man, we cut yards, man. Some dudes had jobs throwing newspapers, man.
Yeah, man.
You
we
know,
mm-hmm.
those
little, we hustled.
You know, those
yeah, that's true.
But, you know, America has infected us with this criminal enterprise and these drugs and the violence and hate, the ignorance and all those other conducts. Every man, and we had, back in those days, we had leaders. We had rank. You know who the big homie was, and he got respect. You know who the leader was,
and
he got respect.
OG meant something. You know what I'm saying? OG used to mean something. That was like, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Y'all don't be tripping. Y'all better, man, stop playing. That's what the mm-hmm. older dudes used to say when the OGs used to come, you know. Hey, bro, slow down. But that's, you know, that's important, Clarence, and that's kind of the thing, too. And you hit that. I remember in boot camp,
mm-hmm.
we had four battalions, and each one had a different color. And we were mm-hmm. competing against each other to become the number one battalion mm-hmm. on graduation day. So we could march
mm-hmm.
by all of the leaders
mm-hmm.
and salute them, you know. And mm-hmm. I was part, and we won first place, and I was meritoriously, you know, promoted in that time, and we fought that color to the, and then when, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, so it wasn't I don't care what color you was, it was supposed to be one green, but it was still segregated, it was still racial, I don't care how they said, but when we went to war, oh no, it turned one color, because then bullets
mm-hmm.
went by everybody's heads. And I'm going to tell this story because I was in, I don't know if you guys remember this back in 1983, but I was in Lebanon I was actually on ship. I was on the New Jersey, the USS New Jersey, which is a major gunship for the Navy. And I was in the Marine Corps. They transported us and I did these tours going all across the world. I got caught on the ship that was going to Lebanon. And when they blew up the 235 Marines in those barracks, have ammo, bro. We was out there ammo, because when Reagan was in, as a peacekeeping force, you could not have ammo. It was all in the armory. Now, I mm-hmm. had a little rank, so I had my 45 and my extra clips. But as far as the guards, they didn't have – when they rushed those things, and I'm saying this because being in the military, you know that things are done, and they're done so on point when you're in trouble. And I'm just saying that from a mm-hmm. point that that's something maybe we need to hit, because when we get in trouble, we disperse instead of getting closer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't call my brother when I get in trouble. I call my girl or I call my sister. We disperse when we get in trouble out here, but in there we all got closer. I was next to a dude
mm-hmm.
that called me nigga, and when it got hot, we was brothers.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh man! I pray you guys mm-hmm. understand this military talk we're having out here, because we are all veterans. Now we don't want to exclude anyone. Dial one, even if you weren't a veteran. James, I see you on there. Go ahead, dial one, bro. I know. Now, James working out. James always at the gym on Tuesdays, and you'll hear James getting it in, but we always want that wisdom from our brother also. Pastor Dwayne Collins, I want to bring him in now. Hold on. Where's he at? Did he? He be doing Bible study on Tuesdays also. I should have caught him when I had him in the beginning. Amen. Are you out there, my brother? Can we get a little bit from you tonight? I told you he's at the gym. Okay, we ain't gonna put him under the bus. Amen. So that's where it's at. But what do we do? Can I get a since it's the three of us? Oh, there you go.
I'm on that last set.
Hey,
y'all better follow.
Look,
y'all better follow James Hudson on Facebook. James Hudson and Showtime. Scroll through his page and look at some of his workout things. He's a playwright. He's a director. We're about to put together a major. Watch this. Listen, God gave me this. We're about to put together a major game intervention play. Directed by James Hudson, written by James Hudson, but also collaborated through all of us that have this game involved, knowing what these young people need. I think they need to see it on the stage, and that's one of the ways we're going to reach them, and we're going to touch them, and this demand to help us do it. But come on, man, talk to us while you're in between sets.
Yeah, bro. Well, you know me, man. I just be trying to get my little sharpening in, brother, when I hear you, brother, speak on Tuesday night, man. So actually, on my Facebook page for the last day or two, I've actually been featuring you. You haven't even seen it because I see all these hundreds of people on my storyline, but I have not seen Pastor Hamilton, but featuring you in a couple of plays that you were in. But anyway, those Sister Valentine and all them, they've been hitting it, so they all know what's going on. You don't even know. You're so busy. You can't.
I ain't been on Facebook but to preach.
Hey man, you got to do what you got to do, man. But yeah, man, it's a battle, man. It's a war battle. You know, that's why we got to stay strapped up, man, and ready to go, man. But again, like I said, you know me, man. I try to hit every week that I possibly can, get on here just to hear it. A lot of times I'm not really commenting or anything like that, but I'm appreciating. Trust me, I am. And it really does me good to hear these brothers speak, man, about their personal lives and their personal, have these personal testimonies. I think, matter of fact, one of the clips I put on Facebook yesterday or this morning, whenever that you were in, you were talking about being in prison. And how you were sitting in prison one day and just sitting there, and you heard this young man next to your cell say talking. And as long as he was talking to himself, you said, you asked him, hey, man, who are you talking to? And he said, somebody you need to be talking to. His name is Jesus. You said, man, who are you talking to? And then, but you went on just to clarify, you went on to say, man, if you asked God, well, you know, where were you at? When I was out there doing all them drugs, when I needed, well, he said, the Spirit of God told you, I was right there with you. I was right there with you, but you just wouldn't listen. That's all it was. And he said, that's how come I put you in here, so that you ain't got no other choice. Because, you know,
that's
sometimes
right.
God has to set us down, man. He has to set us down in a place where you can't call on nobody but God. Because we always give credit to somebody else all the time. He said, I'll put you in a place where you can't call on nobody but me. Then that way you'll know it ain't nobody but me, because I'm the only person you're talking to. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth. You in there lonely. You got nobody else. You ain't got nobody else but me.
But that just goes to show you how God says, look, you got to have your quiet time with me. You know, it's all this hustle and bustle time. You got to get to a place. I know when I was growing up as a child, my mother had what we call a prayer room in the house. Now, she already had 9 kids in the house, but we had one room, and that was the prayer room. You couldn't sleep in there. The only thing you could do in that room was go in there and pray. That was her prayer closet, but it was actually a room that they built onto the house. But it meant that much to her to say there's going to be a time when you're going to have to come to know God for yourself. And the best way for you to know him is to get in there and start talking to him. And because I used to hear my mama, like I said, calling out the name of Jesus, all of her children, the neighbors. 2 o'clock in the morning, she's in there just calling out the name of my God. And going hard, man. I asked him one day, just like you said, I said, Mama, who are you talking to? He said, James, I'm talking to the Lord. One day you're gonna have to talk to him yourself. You're gonna have to call. I can call out on him. I can ask him to protect you. And all. He said, but it's gonna come a time when you're gonna have to call on God for yourself. I never ever forget that. He said, you're gonna have to call on him for yourself one day, and then you'll know. You'll understand. Why? When I used to ride in the truck when I was going fishing with my dad, he'd just be sitting over there talking, pointing and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, Dad, who are you talking to? He said, Son, I'm talking to the Lord. He said, I'm talking to the Lord. I said, you talking to him? No, I ain't talking to myself. I'm talking to the Lord. He said, one day you'll understand and you'll be talking to him too. And so when I ride in my truck, my car, sometimes going on a trip with my daughter, one day she asked me the same thing. Dad, who are you talking to? Who are you over there talking to? Are you over there just going to town?
Yeah, they're like, are you mumbling? No,
what is that all about?
Because what you're going through right now, look, I had to tell her. Yeah. I had to tell her. I said, no, I'm mumbling to the Lord because what you're going through right now, I'd be cussing, and that ain't going to really be right.
Yeah.
So I need to
remind
the Lord first that we can.
But it just goes to show you how that spirituality can be passed down, man, from generation to generation, just listening and paying attention. You know, and that's my thing. That's why I think that has played such a role in my life to try to stay rounded and grounded, knowing that, hey, man, that God will and He can provide for you, and He can do some things to do that. He'll challenge you, but He'll show you some stuff, man, that when He shows it to you. And Pastor, you know, when I see you knowing all the stuff that, because it seems like every time I hear you talk about some stuff you've been through that I ain't never heard before. But to see that and to know that you are coming out of all of that and you still staying steadfast, being a single man and have to deal with all this pressure and all this other stuff you have to deal with, man, I'm telling you, it's a compliment, man, to be able to hold your ground, because I know you get tired. Ain't no doubt about that. I get tired of doing what I'm doing, so I know you get tired. But, man, just know that that's why I get on this line, because brothers, iron sharpening iron, brother. And I'm just telling you, man, people are praying for you when you don't know that they're praying for you.
Oh, man up is back. We needed this. And you, my brother, was that phone call that said, bro, hey, what happened? Just like you were scratching your head, like, what happened to man up?
Yeah. Right.
And I said, I was waiting on that call right there, remember? I said, I'm waiting on this call, and I didn't know who it was going to be, but it was going to be somebody that cared about me and said, no, where is man up? And we are back. So I want everyone out here to hear this. This is the platform for us to really be able to share and open up. We need each other, nation from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. We all going through the same thing. I don't care if your time zone is different. Me and James go through the same thing, and we on 2 hours different time zone.
That's right.
My weather's better than his, and his weather sometimes better than mine, but we on the same spiritual time zone. Each other, man. Bless you, bro.
Bless you, bro.
What you doing?
I appreciate
what you doing abs today?
No, I'm doing my legs today, man. I got to work on them legs, man.
Love you, man.
You got to be able to run. I got to be able to run, brother. I got to be able
got
to run.
Got to be able to run. But before you go, and I know we said a lot right there, but what is that one key that would touch a man, one of my brothers, one of your brothers out there, to say, oh, I'm going to call back next week because I think I can get better at this?
Well, the one key is knowing that when you get on this line, which is the reason why I get on it, is that every time I've heard a brother on here, they're always real. I have never once got on here and heard a fake brother. And in my spirit, you know, because my spirit will tell me, oh, this boy is crazy. But no.
You got that from your mama.
You have invited to be on there, man. It's just, I got that from my mama. Yeah, the discernment of spirit. That's exactly right. So that's what makes me remember when I'm in this gym. Oh, it's about 8 o'clock. I need to get on that line. Even if you don't even know I'm on there, I'm gonna stay on there and listen, because I need to be on there, not because of what somebody else needs to do. I know I need to hear the word from a brother. And every time God, he said his word doesn't go out void. He's gonna use somebody that you got on that phone to minister to me, which I've already been ministered to. So that's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Everybody on there is real.
Man, the Lord for the bless you with double sets.
Yeah.
Clarence, what would that one last comment be to that someone that hears your voice, your sound more than they do mine, that they need to do more and stay connected, and not for ratings, but for this platform to come and maybe open up a dial one next week? What would you tell him?
I would tell him to study. Read all you can, and tune in to, we have our own scholars. Go to some African websites. Go to some African websites. Get those stories and read those stories, because everything that we learn, America has given us. So how do we know if they're telling us the truth if we don't go over here and see what the lie? The hunter has been glorified. The Europeans gave us every evil that they brought here to America. When they were living in the dark ages, Africa was living in civilized society. So now we have been infected with these diseases and all these illnesses. So read, study. You can go to unitedblackbooks.org and check out that website.
Read, and tell them how they can get your book. That's the first read they need to see. Regulate.
If you want to regulate the manual, the title of the book is Regulate the Manual. I'm Clarence M. Allen on Cash App if you want to get it directly from me. I have a website, regulatethemanual.com. You can get it from the website. You can go to Amazon. You can ask your bookstore, order desk. And the 3rd of March, I will explain why I've written this book and what it contains. Thank you, Pastor E. Bless everybody.
Bless you more, my brother. Rockbox, I need about a 10 bar. Look, y'all, he teaching me how to beatbox. So wait, hey y'all,
all right, you ready?
How to beatbox? So I'm gonna get. No, give me a little bar, and then tell a brother out here in that language, bro. If you got a freestyle, anything that would touch somebody's heart and say, man, I can still do what I do and love God. Man, come on, hit it, bro.
Okay. Boxes, y'all know. what we talking about, I made an album. My first album was called Rabbit Got the Gun. And I feel like now, you know, because like what Pastor Clarence was saying, you know, reference to us reading everything right now, and the whole subject of man up, you know, you think about it, the rabbit got the gun right now because we all come in one like mind and everything or whatever. It's no longer Elmer Fudd chasing the rabbit. Rabbit is chasing Elmer Fudd on the coup, you know. And what I just wanted to say, anybody out there, you know, still trying to, you know, fulfill their dreams, no matter what age you are or whatever. I always say if you got your own, it don't matter. And I actually have my own, so I don't really worry about all that myself, but you know, you can still do what you need to do and get with the Lord and discover your purpose and live out that purpose and spread the word and bring more souls to the kingdom. You know, and that's all I have to say on that one.
Amen. We got to get together on a couple of little segments. I need some playback music and stuff like that. Boom, boom.
All right.
Anybody can rock box behind the mic when you ain't looking at them. Family, the number one thing that I would say tonight in closing is that no matter how you may feel that we were talking about you, and you said, dang, that was only confirmation is that we're just like you because we're talking from experience. We're talking from experience and we're talking from experience. And I'm going to tell you now that I've tried it all kind of each way up and down. There's not a subject that we could talk about that I guarantee you that I don't have some experience. And it didn't work. Because I realized that all those things that I blamed on this and that and this was all about me and me, me, me. But when I started to really see value in others, I saw more value in me. So I want to encourage you tonight. Don't leave here discouraged. No, you are God's greatest miracle. You just have to start acting like it. Everything God has done has been done and finished, complete. Can't add, can't take away. But you have to be accountable for your past and walk in your now. The Bible does say this, and watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, it says, if anyone, that adds you, me, color, whatever you thought religion you had, but if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have been passed away, but behold, my God, this changed my life because I thought I had to stop being, you know, everything I did in the world that was successful, I thought I had to give that away to come to God. And I read the scripture that said, wait a minute, no, no. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things are new again. So I was smart at calculating. I was smart at multiplying. I was smart at marketing. I was smart. All I had to do was be smart. And my life changed. Want to know about the past? I don't tell that story. Because I got away with a lot. And that's not for everybody. I was built for this so I could talk about certain things. I'm saying to you now, forget it. Don't look back to the next level and say, here I am with some people that everything they're talking about, it sounds like me. That means you're here on purpose and there's somebody you know that needs to be here on purpose and need to hear these same messages, these same voices, these same spirits of humble, unified collaboration. No, covenant. And that was Minister Michael. That wasn't Rockbox that said that. But the covenant that we don't leave here without tonight. Oh, no, I'm going to be sending this covenant out to about five of y'all already just to get an okay. That sounds good, Pastor E. We need some accountability on paper. And see where we can really go. Man, I love you guys. Thank God for you. I want you to know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. You are God's greatest miracle. If somebody's telling you anything different, you need to stop talking to them. You need to stop answering that phone. And you need to stop being in that group. And you need to get around some people that's going to tell you how important you are and how, watch this, significant you are, not to man, but to God. If you need to hear it more, come on back through to the Now Network, and we will have whatever we can do to encourage you and help you along the way and know that you can do it. Man, we love you guys. God bless you. Talk to you next week, Tuesday, same time, same channel. Let's do it.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.